reading from Luke chapter 14, beginning of verse 26. Hard words from Jesus, actually. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let's kneel before him in prayer.
I also want to say good morning to each of you. It's good to be here at church to worship God corporately. Today's message, I titled Characteristics of a Disciple of Christ, Part 2. The last time when I spoke on a Sunday evening, we talked about the characteristics of a disciple as far as hating his family. Today we want to talk about the characteristics of cross-bearing. The cross had only two pieces of wood. It had a stake and a crossbeam. The stake was vertical, pounded into the ground. The second piece, the crossbeam, was attached vertically towards the top. If it was fastened at the top, it formed a T. Or if it was a little lower, it was a cross pattern. Crucifixion, it was an ultimate torture that was also an execution. It was invented by the Persians, used by the Greeks, and it was perfected by the Romans. Someone said about the victims, when the victims arrived at the place of crucifixion, he would be stripped naked to further shame him. Then he would be forced to stretch out his arms on the crossbeam, where they were nailed in place. The nails were hammered through the wrists, not the palms, which kept the nails from pulling through the hands. In ancient times, the wrists were considered part of the hand. The placement of the nails in the wrists also caused excruciating pain, as the nails pressed on large nerves running to the hand. The crossbeam would then be hoisted up and fastened to an upright piece, the stake that would normally remain standing between crucifixions. After fastening the crossbeam, the executioners would nail the victim's feet to the cross as well, one foot on top of the other, nailed through the middle and arch of each foot with the knees slightly bent. Once the victim was fastened to the cross, all his weight was supported by three nails, which would cause pain to shoot throughout the body. The victim's arms were stretched out in such a way as to cause cramping and paralysis to the chest muscles, making it impossible to breathe unless some of the weight was borne by the feet. In order to take a breath, the victim had to push up with his feet. So till he died, he was continually pushing up to breathe, letting down, pushing up and letting down. But did you know the criminal is the one who had to carry the crossbeam to this place of his execution? As soon as he left the prison, the guards would place the heavy burden on his back. And this was extremely painful because of the flogging that he had received before. So picture the prisoner trudging along to the place of crucifixion, carrying the crossbeam on his bloody back. From this point on, nothing about self was fulfilled. Everything revolved around fulfilling the desire of the Roman authority. I was thinking that possibly at this time of the day, the criminal normally would be having supper with his wife. But now it was onward to the cross. Possibly if he was free, he would be a merchant using the time to make money. Now it was onward to the cross. Maybe in the past he enjoyed going to the riverbank and his mind and soul relaxed at the sound of the flow of the river. But now it was onward to the cross. You see, self at this point had already started to be executed. He obeyed the authority he was under. He marched to their drumbeat. He marched to their whims. Self was dead. Onward to the cross. The march was full of shame. Others jeered at him as he carried his method of torture, the crossbeam, towards the vertical stake in the ground. Imagine the shame. It was almost like wiring the electric to your own electric chair that you were going to be executed on. The shame, carrying the cross to the crucifixion. And most times they also had a placard around their neck, and on it was written the crimes that they were charged for. It could be murderer, rapist, insurrectionist, thief. And the crowd point and they laugh and they jeer. The emotional battering. Onward to the crucifixion. No choices, not to the left or to the right. Nothing to please self. Self is dead. Self was left in the prison. March. March on. The Roman authority had to be obeyed. It gets heavier. He's halfway there. He sobs. He doesn't want to get closer. Self repels and despises every step to the crucifixion. But self cannot be obeyed. Self is tramped down. Only the Roman authority will be pleased and fulfilled. Onward to the cross. For the criminal to bear his cross meant he would die physically and emotionally, and his self-will, it would unconditionally surrender to the authority of Rome. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said to us, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. What did he mean? We know Jesus bore his cross. Scripture says they went forth into a place called, it says, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And another scripture says, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Simon took the cross of Christ. Jesus said, Ray, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross. Luke 14, 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Let's briefly look at this verse a little closer. Whosoever means anyone. Anyone who is unwilling to march to the crucifixion carrying the crossbeam, you cannot be my disciple. Cross bearing for a Christian, Jesus makes it clear it's a choice. The Roman criminal had no choice, but we do. Continuing in verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross. Whosoever does not bear. The word does not bear means to carry in the Greek. It means to carry something heavy. And it's bear is the same word, Greek word, that's used in Mark 14, verse 13. And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Carry and bear are the same word. We are to carry the heavy crossbeam. Verse 27 says, his cross. And this Greek word for his, it's only used two times in Scripture, the Greek word. And it means ownership. My own cross. And we wonder, what does this mean? What am I picking up? What is so important about this cross that without it, I can't call myself a disciple of Christ? And Jesus continues, and follow me. He is our authority. The Roman criminals followed Rome's authority, but the Christian, as he picks up his cross, follows Christ. Do you know that the disciples did not have any trouble understanding what Jesus said about cross-bearing? And even though all these references about the cross came before Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples understood bearing the cross. They understood well before the cross became a symbol of Christianity. And the reason they understood is because many times it was a common sight. They saw the criminal with the crossbeam on his back, following a Roman soldier, marching to their crucifixion. They saw the weight he bore. And the cross was very despised by the Jews. It was torture. It was used to control the Jews. It represented authority and death. John MacArthur said, "No one in the Roman Empire in New Testament times, and certainly no one in Palestine, could have missed Jesus' point when he said, he who does not take his cross and follow me, he is not worthy of me. The cross symbolized the streams of both pain and heartless cruelty, but above all, it symbolized death," unquote. They understood well what Jesus meant to bear your cross. It meant, I must die to self and follow in the authority of Jesus Christ. I must die to self and follow in the authority of Jesus Christ if I want to be his disciple. I ask all of us, have we picked up that crossbeam? Are we his disciples? For the criminal, when he picked up the crossbeam, it was about following the will of the Roman authority. For the Christian, when we take up our cross, it's all about following the authority of Jesus Christ. Are we? George MacDonald said, "To bear the cross, therefore, means a continuing loyalty to Christ, along with a continuing death to self. It means we must refuse, abandon, deny self altogether as a rolling or determining or originating element in us. It is to be no longer the regent of our actions. We are no more to think, what should I like to do, but think, what would the living one have me do?" Unquote. It's voluntary. Simon of Cyrene didn't have a choice, but Jesus frames the cross-bearing as a choice everyone can make. What choice have you made? Are you a disciple of Christ? To die to self means four things. First, it means a loss of normal pursuits. The criminal, nothing was normal as he submitted to Rome. What his flesh desired, he could not do. His normal pursuits were dead. And when we follow Christ, our death in him will turn normal upside down. Our normal desires, they're going to be replaced with his desires. Before, we followed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Before, it was all about I, about me, and about self. But when we choose to carry the cross, self dies. We seek those things that bring glory to God. Our normal pursuits will be replaced with the pursuit of pleasing God. We will lose our life. Matthew 10, verse 39. "He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. As we replace normal pursuits and we lose our identity into his life, we're going to look like strangers and losers. Self is dead. And we march onward under the authority of Christ. Luke 9, verse 23. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The loss of normal pursuits. But secondly, for a Christian, a disciple, our life becomes heavy. The cross beam, it's estimated to weigh about 70 pounds. And even a healthy person carrying it for any distance would feel the burden, feel weighted down on the march to the cross. When we accept the cross in our life, brothers and sisters, things will become different and difficult. We're going to feel the weight as we give our time in much service to him. It will become heavy. As we give our talents and times to serve him, as we give of our finances to him, we toil and labor for him. In our humanness, we will feel the heaviness. Barnes said, to carry the crossbeam was burdensome. It was disgraceful and trying to the feelings, in addition to the punishment. So, as a Christian, to carry the cross is a figurative expression donating that we must endure whatever is burdensome or trying or considered to be disgraceful in following Christ. It consists simply in doing our duty. Let the world think of it and speak of it as they may. It is doing just what is required of us in the scriptures. Let it produce whatever shame, disgrace, or pain. This every follower of Jesus Christ is required, unquote. Carrying the cross of Christ as we follow him, it's going to be an emotional weight. It's going to zap our energy. But we serve with joy out of love for him. We cling to the cross and we bear it, even though the weight is great. A disciple of Christ will not live a normal life. His life, he will allow his life to be weighted down in service and obedience to God. Are you dead? Am I dead? And under the authority of Christ. Thirdly, he's going to endure shame. Christ, in his march to the cross, endured much shame. There were the angry mobs along the way. There was shame in carrying the wood that was going to be used in his execution. The shame of being stripped naked of his clothes. And he says, if you want to be my disciple, you too need to bear the shame of the cross. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Are you willing to bear the shame to be a willing sacrifice? When things change in America, and they will, and persecution arises, and we are put to shame, are we still willing to be his disciple? If we're not willing to suffer shame in little things, we're not going to be able to do it in big things. Are you ashamed to bow your head before you eat your meal and pray, whether it's at a restaurant or at work? Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to dress differently? Are you ashamed to follow God that's different from the world? Are you ashamed to try to talk about God when everyone else is talking about sports or their hobbies? If I am a disciple of Christ, I'm going to be like Christ. He did God's will, no matter what others thought. As you no longer follow the normal pursuits of life, you're going to be different. As you are busy and fatigued in pursuit of serving Christ, others will think you're crazy. But you carry the cross willingly. Like Christ, You despise the shame and march on to the crucifixion. Are we a disciple of Christ? Is self dead in our lives? Fourthly, when you die, when you pick up the cross, it will cost you relationships with family, friends, co-workers, and others. Jesus said, Luke 14, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And we spoke about this the last Sunday evening that I spoke. As you follow Christ and submit to his authority, you're not going to be normal pursuits that everyone else follows. You will willingly take the burden of serving him. You will take up the shame of the cross. And many times when we do this, this separates us from family and friends and co-workers. But the disciples, they put the authority of Christ over family and friends. The disciples put the authority of Christ over relationships with family and friends. As Christians, we value the family institute. We value friendships. But many times, the cross separates. It always has and it always will. When we pick up the cross beam, we follow what we value the most, and that is Jesus Christ. Family is second. It's all about Jesus Christ. We saw that his disciples died to self. They have a new normal, which is out of sync with the world's normal. We saw we die to self with a willingness to serve Christ sacrificially with our time, our energy, our talents, our finances. We are willing to go above and beyond, to go all in for Jesus Christ. We saw we die to self by taking the shame and persecution and even separation from family and friends. Next, we want to look at a comparison between cross-bearing Christianity and lightweight Christianity. Cross-bearing Christianity is what we just described. It's a willing denial to self, picking up that crossbeam willingly, and a willing submission to Christ's authority in every area. And cross-bearing Christianity requires death to self, a new normal, shame for Christ, separation from the world, and even family. I want to describe lightweight Christianity. Lightweight Christianity never dies to self, but yet they still acknowledge the essence of Christ in creed. Lightweight Christianity, it's believing all the right things about Christ as Savior, but refusing to drop everything and come under his authority as Lord. Lightweight Christianity, they continue to pursue their passions. Pursuit of self, pursuit of power, pursuit of money, pursuit of self-fulfillment. Cross-bearing Christians do not please themselves. It's all about pleasing Jesus. 1 Peter 4, verse 1 and 2. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. You know, the cross-bearing attitude. For whosoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of our time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. No longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Lightweight Christianity, they set their affections on earthly things. Our money, our earthly future, things here on earth are their affections. But cross-bearing Christianity, Colossians 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For we are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Lightweight Christianity. doesn't have time to meet with the church family. Cross-bearing Christians are there whenever the church meets. Lightweight Christians, let the ministers and teachers talk about Scripture. Cross-bearing Christians talk about God with others. They inquire about truth. They check. They discern. The cross meant sacrificed. But today's Christianity, they have re-engineered the cross so it's lighter, so the cross has less sacrifice. It's more pleasing to self. A.W. Tozer said, "The old cross slew men. The new cross entertains them. The old cross condemned. The new cross amuses. The old cross destroyed confidence in the flesh. The new cross encourages it." Unquote. Lightweight Christians, they now and then they sacrifice time to serve him. Cross-bearing Christianity view every day as an opportunity to deny self and serve the risen Lord. Lightweight Christianity, they love God in words. They believe the right things. They talk the right things. But they refuse to give sacrificially with their finances. They refuse to give their time in serving sacrificially. They refuse to do anything for Christ that will bring them shame. 1 John 3, verse 18. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Lightweight Christians, they want to attend a church filled with disciples. Cross-bearing Christians, they want to be that disciple. Lightweight Christianity says, "I have a right to my time. I have a right to be successful. And I have a right to pursue wealth and power." But the cross-bearing Christian says, "I lay down all my rights before Christ. I pick up the cross. I lay down self and follow him." Lightweight Christianity views holiness as legalism. Just love Jesus. Just seek to know him. You don't need to get back bogged down with all that other stuff, says lightweight Christianity. Cross-bearing Christianity says, "I want to know more about obeying him and pleasing him. Show me what I need to change. Show me what truth I need to follow." The crowds that followed Jesus were lightweight. They followed him for the free food. They wanted to see the miracles. But at Jerusalem, they were unwilling to follow him, because to follow him meant death to self. I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains when he counted losses. I counted my worth by the things gained in store, but he sized me up by the scars that I bore. I coveted honors and sought for degrees. He wept as he counted the hours on my knees. And I never knew till one day at a grave how vain are these things that we spend life to save. Lightweight Christianity says, "We have a big church. Let someone else serve at missions. Let someone else pursue the youth who are looking both ways. Let someone else invite the visitor for a meal." Cross-bearing Christianity says, "Lord, I commit myself to follow you. Use me in missions if it's your will. Use me in helping spiritual needs of others. Use me in serving a meal to visitors." Cross-bearing Christianity says, lightweight Christianity, they get offended when they are going through a trial and no one visits them. cross-bearing Christianity. They regularly visit others who are going through trials and who are elderly and older. James 1 verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Lightweight Christianity, they will not search out the hard things of Scripture. Lightweight Christianity will not want to learn more about God's Word. Lightweight Christianity is lukewarm, content with their lack of knowledge. But cross-bearing Christianity says, Lord, show me more. Show me why. I want my Christianity to be real. I want it to be authentic. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Lightweight Christianity lives for self, except for Sunday morning when they come to church and when they have their devotions. But cross-bearing Christianity, every day they pick up the cross and follow the authority of Jesus Christ. And you know, there is a reason that Jesus said we're to pick up the cross daily. Luke 9, verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, the cross is heavy. Self-denial is hard. It can slip off. Or maybe we put it down for a moment and we let it stay there. It's something we need to consider daily. Daily commit to die to self-will. Daily recommit to follow the authority of Christ. And daily march onward to the crucifixion. Lightweight Christianity lets Christ do all the suffering. Cross-bearing Christianity says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We mentioned that the cross is heavy. We mentioned that it brings weariness. It's costly. It drains your energy and time. But there's a paradox here. Those who embrace the heaviness of the cross, they have joy, they have happiness, they have strength, they have much gain, and they have reward. Those who embrace the cross have joy, happiness, strength, and much gain. So a disciple, as he dies to self, as he suffers much earthly loss, as he suffers physical weariness, and as he gets emotionally bogged down and burdened, as he pours himself into serving God. But at the same time, the paradox is he's going to have joy, happiness, strength, and hope, and feel blessed. It's a paradox, but it's true. I want to look at a couple of ways this happened. First, the disciple who carries his cross is blessed with finding true life. Matthew 10, verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So the one who has lost loses his life, loss of normal, loss of self-pursuit. He's going to find true life. Brothers and sisters, when you lose your life for him, when you're opposite the world, when normal is turned upside down, when you're weary of giving all your time to serve him, when you lose your life, you're going to find true life. You're going to find that true joy, that true fulfillment of what God means life to be. Secondly, a cross bearer is blessed and promised joy. Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It says, in that you are to rejoice. There is joy in death to self. It says we are blessed. Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy of being a disciple of Christ. Thirdly, those who die to self, they find fulfilling life, they find true joy, but they are also promised a supernatural strength. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Being a disciple, no matter how heavy the cross is, he will give the strength and the joy and the blessing as we follow him. Fourthly, the disciple is promised eternal life. 1 John 2, verse 17, and the world passes away and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Those who take the crucifixion march, who die to self, follow the authority of Christ, those whose lives are not normal, they're turned upside down, those who feel the heavy weight of following Christ, those who endure the shame and loss of family relationships, they are promised a full life, a true life. They are promised to have joy, promised strength. They are promised, here it says, to have eternal life. But it doesn't stop there. Fifthly, they are promised a greater degree of reward in heaven. Luke 18, verse 28. And Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he, Jesus, said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. What joy is in store for the disciple of Christ? What a joy. We talked about Simon carried the cross for Jesus. Sometimes we sing, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. As I did a little research on that song, I found out this more modern version actually replaced what was originally wrote by Brother Shepherd. And the first stanza actually says, shall Simon bear the cross alone, and other saints be free. Brothers and sisters, have we been free of carrying the cross? Have we not died to self? Have we not been willing to take the sacrifice and follow Jesus Christ? That is the challenge that this verse has for me. I thought maybe we could sing a couple verses, an invitation. If anyone feels convicted, after church we can get together and pray. So what number would you want to sing? 82. Number 82 in the green book. You could stand or come forward.
Going through my mind, Hebrews 13:5, the end of that verse says, "He will never leave us or forsake us." That's where we get the strength, the courage, the joy, the fulfillment, true life, because Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. So Reyes, challenge us this morning. Am I, are you, or are we a heavyweight or lightweight Christian this morning? With these thoughts, let us bow before him.